Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Hard to believe, but it has been nearly 10 years since LeBron went on national television to declare which team he would be signing with. The infamous decision received its share of criticism after LeBron announced he'd be taking his talents to South Beach to play for the Heat and would be leaving his hometown Cavs. So, Shannon, do you have a problem with the decision and how it all went down?
Nope. Do not have a decision with it, Skip Bayless. When I look at it, Skip, and I get some of the anger for the Cleveland fans, is because, Skip, our hometown guy is leaving us. Us. Left. Gone. We're not going to be the same because there's a reason why we're in position to get him, Skip. We weren't very good. Mm-hmm. So if he leaves, they weren't very good. What? They get two first number one overall picks after LeBron left, and they've been in position to get several more since he's been gone again. Mm-hmm. Skip, I think what happened is that when LeBron did what he did, LeBron's like, okay, the decision's going to happen. And what happened was, Skip, from the time LeBron lost to, I think, to Boston, until he made that decision, it was like almost two months. Skip, you're old enough to remember Jenny before Jenny don't remember this. Mm-hmm. But you remember Skip Dallas, who shot JR? Now, you remember back then, you had to wait all the way until the fall, and they build that thing up. Who they kept right of who shot JR? Was it Sue Ellen? Was it Bobby? Was it this one? They build that suspense. In television, we call that teasing. Mm-hmm. So LeBron was teasing. Well, who is it, Bron? He didn't do no talking during the season. He didn't let anybody know. Suitors, come see me. Miami, Brooklyn, Knicks, Chicago, and, of course, you know, Cleveland. Mm. And so everybody was on the edge of the seat. He's like, well, hold on. If ESPN's going to put this on their air and they're going to make some money, I should at least get something out of the deal. Maybe I'll raise some money for charity. People don't want to talk about that, but that's what he did. Raise money for a very worthy cause.
Boys and Girls Club.
Yes. Skip, for me, I don't have a problem. Skip, it wasn't like he didn't own a network now. It was like if he was Oprah and Oprah puts it on her own network, that's a different thing. Mm-hmm. But someone came to him and said, like, do you mind? And LeBron is 25 years of age, and I understand Pete Dawson's grown, but LeBron had never been in this situation before because now he's got the everybody's watching. But from that moment on, LeBron realized, and it's the thing that we say about power, people don't realize how much power they have. LeBron said, whoa, yo, y'all hanging on every word I say. 10 million live. Nobody can do that. Did you know The Last Dance on the average about 5.6?
10 million viewers.
Yeah. And when he made that decision, it peaked. Mm-hmm. Crescendoed, apex.
Still, by far, the most watched studio show in the history of ESPN. That means non-game. Still the highest.
13.1.
Yep.
That was the paradigm shift that gave the athletes the power that we see in the NBA today. And I think what hurt LeBron, look, he understands the fans being upset because he was leaving Cleveland. That hurt him, Skip, because you're burning his jersey and you're calling all out of his name. And then the owner, your value has doubled in your franchise. And this is what you think of me? Had a little racial undertone to it. Well, ain't no undertone. That was overtures. Mm-hmm. That wasn't no undertone. That was overtures. And so that was the moment that LeBron James realized, man, I got power. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that's the mistake that people make, Skip. They don't realize how much power they have. When they don't think they have any, that's when you give up your power. And LeBron didn't know he had this kind of power. And then once he saw that, it's over. That's why a lot of these execs, a lot of people, I think what hurt LeBron more than anything, it was the former guys that played that was so hard on him. Because we'd never seen this before, Skip. Michael came back with the facts. I'm back. That's all he's saying. Bird, Magic, never had it. When they re-signed Skip, they never did anything like this. And so the old guard, Skip, they have a way of doing things, and they want you to toe that line. Mm-hmm. And LeBron says, nah, I'm stepping out of that line. And so for me, Skip, he didn't demand a trade. He played the contract out. He fulfilled his obligation in Cleveland, fulfilled it in Miami, went back to Cleveland, fulfilled it. Mm-hmm. Now, let the man live his life. Mm-hmm. Everybody, people leave jobs all the time. Just imagine, Skip, you leave a job and your team and your co-workers, the people standing outside calling you all kind of names. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with old GOAT James.
Mm. GOAT.
Don't GOAT James.
phony goat.
No, stop saying that.
Okay. I have the same opinion of the decision now that I had the day after on ESPN on First Take on July, it would have been the 9th of 2010,
right.
10 years ago almost. I had the same opinion. I actually loved it. It was great theater. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind it for my network giving up its airtime, giving a whole hour to LeBron James. He was that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Because he was such a huge free agent acquisition. We had been going on for 2 months on ESPN. All we ever talked about was speculating. Is it Miami? Is it staying in Cleveland? Is it Chicago? Is it right. an X Factor team that we're not seeing?
And he was the biggest free agent, what, since Shaq? We hadn't seen anything like that, Skip.
Mm-mm. And it had dragged on, to your point, for two long months. And I was ready for a big theatrical crescendo. So I had no problem with the choice to do the decision
right.
on live national mm-hmm. TV. But I had a big problem with how LeBron executed it. And it was interesting. I watched the special last night mm-hmm. on it on ESPN by Don Van Atta, who did a very good job on this. He pointed out that Commissioner Stern went to John Skipper, a friend of mine who was then running ESPN, mm-hmm. and just campaigned, no, 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 no. It's going to make LeBron look bad. Well, I couldn't figure out why it would make him look bad unless he made himself look bad
right.
on the special, so or on the decision. But Don Van Atta reported that LeBron was urged before it to thank the fans of Cleveland and that LeBron did not prepare for this. He did know. Usually LeBron is like a PR whiz. Mm-hmm. Like he's all over it. He's thought of every nook and cranny of it could mm-hmm. go here, so I got to go there, this, that. Be ready for it and have a speech ready
right.
that you can do off the cuff like he did on Kobe night mm-hmm. that Friday night
right.
when we were at the Super Bowl.
Right.
He was brilliant, but he'd obviously thought it through. He had a plan in his head, and then he just let his heart take over.
Correct.
Could have done the same thing here. So did he thank the fans of Cleveland? He did not. So after 7 years, he owed them, and I'll just off the top of my head, I was blessed to be able to start my career and play 7 years in my home area in Akron/Cleveland. And I love the fans of Cleveland and that, whatever they call Northeast Ohio. Mm-hmm. I love them and they will always hold a huge place in my heart.
Right.
But I now have an opportunity to play alongside one of my best friends in the world, if not my best friend, in Dwayne Wade.
Right.
And it's an opportunity I'm going to take because it's not going to come along again anytime soon. And obviously he would know Dwayne was a little ahead of him in years. Mm-hmm. So I need to maximize my chances to play with Dwayne. If LeBron had sold it that way, which I think was from his heart, then I think it would have been so much more palatable for the fans in Cleveland. Instead, he showed no gratitude for them having his back all those years. Mm-hmm. They had not won a championship. He was regarded as the best player in basketball, but they got to one finals and they got swept by the Spurs.
Right.
So he needed to be much more gracious to the fans, just to Cleveland.
Right.
And make it hard. Make it, if you want to cry, you could cry. Like this has torn me apart.
Right.
But we got none of that. And I thought his rapport with Jim Gray was pathetic. It was like they didn't know each other, and LeBron was a little leery of Jim.
Well, Skip, they didn't know each other, Skip, but you got to understand.
But they chose him.
Yeah.
Maverick Carter and company, they all said, we want Jim Gray.
Skip, and I think
remember, ESPN, when it's Stu Scott,
right.
or, you know, there are other possibilities, but probably Stuart Scott.
Right. But, Skip, I think LeBron is that knowing that he's going to make, because he said the night before he was, because they're leading up to that, Skip, he's like, this team, okay, that team, no, this team. And then he's like, it's going to be Miami. And then he's like, the night before, knowing, I don't think he thought he would get the vitriol and the blowback that he got from Cleveland. I don't think he thought that part through. Skip, so you leading up to it, you tease. And Skip, you forgot because you remember in 1963 on the March on Washington, it was Mahalia Jackson. Martin, tell him about the dream. He didn't have that written in his speech. He had forgotten about Martin, tell him about the dream.
That's true.
So,
okay. All right.
He, Skip, you up there, Skip, you know, you forget.
Forgot. Okay. So he forgot, but he was tense. And he's never tense.
No.
In any public setting, he's the opposite of tense.
Yes.
He is totally poised.
He's very relaxed
now.
In every situation. Right? Absolutely, yes.
Go look at the tape of it. His face is tight, and he's nervous, and he's not sure. And he'd obviously planned only one line, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach.
Right.
And Commissioner Stern just ripped it to shreds. I'm going to take my talents to South Beach? It sounded so arrogant that it wasn't what David Stern stood for.
Right.
It didn't. That's not the image he wanted his superstars to project.
Correct.
He wanted them to show a little bit more humility. Mm-hmm. But as the special last night on ESPN pointed out, it was Kobe Bryant who originally used that same line when he left Lower Merion High School and had to announce at a press conference, am I going to Duke or am I going? And he said, I'm going to take my talents to
the NBA.
Long pause. No. The NBA.
Yep.
Okay. So it wasn't even an original line.
Right.
And LeBron, being the student of history that he is, and Kobe was his, remember, that was in the days of, it's LeBron, Kobe LeBron, mm-hmm. his arch rival, so to speak, was Kobe Bryant.
Right.
So he borrowed the phraseology Kobe had used coming out of high school and turned it into, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach.
Right.
And then the firestorm hit, and it showed all the negativity that made LeBron look bad. Well, it wouldn't have if he had handled it from the heart.
Right.
If he had made Cleveland fans feel a whole lot better about, I gave you 7 years and who knows, maybe one day we'll reunite again.
Right.
If he could have presented it that way, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He was cold-blooded.
Skip, this was the biggest decision LeBron has ever had to make, because all these other decisions, Skip, he got drafted to the Cavs. That wasn't a decision he had to make. You got to go. Okay, with Nike. Okay, you got Adidas and you got Nike. And that was off, you know, hey, you just make a decision. But Skip, this is live. You're doing this live. There are no redos. It's not no cut. Okay, we go back and do that over, or we edit. There's no CG in this one, Skip. Mm-hmm. This is live right now. And so you're talking about a 25-year-old man. And I get it. He's 25. But unless you do this, unless you've done this. And so what happened is LeBron is the trailblazer, because anytime LeBron does something and it goes bad, it says to everybody else, don't do that. Mm. When LeBron does something good, everybody says, let's do that. So now what do you see, Skip? Everybody else, what are they getting? Production companies. Mm. Look at Russ. Look at KD. Look at Dame. Look at Steph Curry. Mm. See, all the things, this is what happens. LeBron did that. They're like, oh, no, I ain't doing that. Mm-mm. Mm. KD ain't doing that. When he left OKC, Skip, mm-hmm. he ain't do that, did he?
No. Okay. So, I'm assuming the blood had already gone real bad between LeBron and his owner, Dan Gilbert. And he rejoined him later, which was like a billion to one shot, which I still can't quite comprehend.
I still can't either.
After all that transpired. So, Dan Gilbert was already angry because LeBron didn't pick up the phone, at least before the decision, maybe even moments
before. Rich Paul said he called. Yes, Rich Paul said I called. But I guess he wanted to hear from LeBron.
He wanted to hear it straight from LeBron. And he wanted some kind of thank you for all that you did for me, some kind of grace from him, like graciousness, where you say, gee, this was the toughest decision I ever made, and I thank you for all you've done, but I'm going to go play with Dwayne for a couple of years, 3-4 years here, just see what happens.
Right.
And yet, Dan Gilbert was so irate that night he did two things. He posted a public, just sort of an open letter, but he also did, more to the point, an interview that night with the Associated Press in which he said he accused LeBron of quitting. He said he quit against Boston in that final series in Cleveland, first go around. Not just in game 5, said Dan Gilbert, but in games 2, 4, and 6, watch the tape. The Boston series was unlike anything in the history of sports for a superstar. Mm-hmm. Well, this is just a salvo. Now, if you want to do plantation mentality, you be my guest. I don't know. I think it's
just straight.
How
dare you leave me?
Okay, it's just straight bitterness. And then he even accused him of quitting the previous year in the Orlando series, in which they also lost games 4, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. After they were neck and neck with Orlando, obviously. And he said, go back and look at that tape. So he said, in the end, LeBron has gotten a free pass. People have covered up for him for too long. Tonight, we saw who he really is. Okay? Well, LeBron invited that in a way because he didn't utter any thankfulness to Cleveland at all. He gave them not 1 ounce.
I think the thing is also you have to look at, Skip, like when you read something that's scripted, people don't think it's from the heart. Remember Mike Gundy? He reading off the prompter, and they said, Mike, you full of bull jive. Mm-hmm. LeBron spoke from the heart. They said, well, you didn't practice. You didn't rehearse. So you got LeBron at his most unprepared.
Yeah,
and when you do something like this, Skip, even though you don't have to read it scripted, you better be prepared. Okay, if he asked me this, where could it possibly go? You play all these scenarios. You get Rich. You get Mav. You get Randy in a room. Okay, guys, you're going to be different reporters. And you just, whatever you're thinking, just ask. To prepare yourself for this moment, Skip, but I don't think he went through that. I don't think he thought, he didn't think that, I'm going to make this decision on live television, and that will be the end of it.
Okay.
That was only the beginning.
And Jim Gray seemed to have no pre-plan with LeBron because he wanted to drag out the actual answer.
Right.
So we asked him about 5 questions that nobody cared about.
Right.
Like, what's it been like over the last couple of months? And LeBron was very awkward in his answers because he seemed surprised by the question.
What do you mean, what it's been like? It's tough. I mean, Skip, but I think one of the reasons why they went away from Stuart Scott, they knew the relationship that Stu Scott had with Jordan. Both
Tar Heel. Carolina.
Yeah. And Stu had been able to sit down and do interviews with Jordan, especially after those finals. And
Fair.
So they kind of wanted to stay away from that.
There was also Bob Lee, obviously, outside the lines.
Yeah.
And that was a possibility.
Yeah.
It was one of those two. So
whichever. Bob Lee, Bob Costas, one of those guys. I mean, you can't go out. I don't know if they'd let Costas do it on their network, but I'm just saying they'd had to, you know, work that out with NBC. But I like Bob Lee. I think he'd have been great.
Tom Brady and Jim Gray have great
relationship.
And Brady just trusts him. Anything that he's going to ask, Brady rolls with it and laughs it off.
Well, he doesn't ask him. He doesn't, hey, Brady, I'm going to ask you this. Okay, so go ahead and prepare. You know, he doesn't send him a list. Okay.
It's possible.
You know, kind of like they did on Hillary. You know, that. Here's the question that we're going to ask for the debate.
Okay.
You know, you didn't get this from me.
Well, clearly Jim Gray and LeBron had no communication whatsoever.
They might, the first time they might have saw each other at the interview.
Mm.
He's sitting across from
it
LeBron.
It felt like that.
It really did, Skip.
Right.
And I'm watching the last, like, I'm like, I don't even know LeBron. Because now when you see him do the interview, he's so relaxed. He's chill. Then he was sitting straight up.
Yeah. He's in control now. He wasn't in control of that one. And it turned him in. Then he decided, I have to be a villain now.
Be something
you're
not.
And so then in that first pep rally that the Heat threw, in their arena?
Yeah.
And it was not 2, not 3, not 4. He went all the way up to 7. We're going to win 7 championships. Not even we're going to go beyond 7 championships, which was uncharacteristic of LeBron. I think he regretted that. And so it just spun out of control for a year.
Well, you know what? If the only thing we're going to criticize him about is the decision, if that's the only thing that we can find fault with, LeBron, you been great. No mercy.
Okay, last Monday, Dak Prescott ended his holdout by officially signing his exclusive franchise tag. He will earn just over $31 million in 2020 and is now expected to participate in training camp. The Cowboys and Dak still have until July 15th to get a long-term deal done. So, Shannon, was this the right move for Dak to sign a tag so soon?
Well, Skip, I always thought he was going to sign the tag. And I still believe he's going to play under the tag this year. It just seemed hard for me to believe that they built up so much bad blood that they would get it done now, when if that was the case, you didn't need to build up this bad blood. And I know everybody says the contract will get done when it gets done. And when it comes up to the 8th, I guess July 13th, 14th, because it has to be done by the 15th for Eastern time, that's when both parties will sit down and try to hammer out something. Skip, I never thought Dak was going to miss training camp. But I always thought he would miss OTAs. He would miss the minicamps. And what happened, what hurt Dak, Skip, was COVID, because nobody was going to minicamp. Everybody was doing it virtually. So really, he's not being on the call, is what not being in the Zoom meetings and things. That's something totally different than his absence, physical absence, not being present, Skip. Mm-hmm. So I think that really hurt him this pandemic, because now all of a sudden, they weren't having OTAs, they weren't having minicamp, and not having Dak there. So I think that dealt him a blow also. But and when they signed Andy Dalton, that took a little bit of the power that Dak had, because Andy Dalton, whatever you might think of him, he's been a starter since he's been in the league. Andy Dalton has thrown for 4,000 yards. Andy Dalton had gone to the Pro Bowl. Andy Dalton had won a division. So he's a very quality guy that the Cowboys like, well, if Dak, you know, if Dak doesn't want to come to camp and whatever, we feel very comfortable going forward with Dak. But for me, Skip, when I look at it, they got what, the July 15th is the deadline. Mm-hmm. So we're about, what, 3 weeks away. We're roughly 3 weeks away, Skip. What, four, maybe a little less, 18, 19 days.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. So we'll see how much progress, because seemingly you thought this was, like Jared said last September, it was imminent. Imminent means future, present, real right around
days.
The corner. Imminent days, yes.
Yeah.
And so from right around the corner in September to here we are July 15th, and nothing has really gotten done. So it's going to be very interesting to see, Skip, but it's just hard when you build up so much bad blood, distrust. Jerry thought they had a deal. And then after the first three games, you say Dak agent says, nah, we need a little bit more money. And Jerry like, oh, hell no. Nah. I can't believe it. Forget it. And so that seems to be where we are now, Skip, is that we go from getting a deal done in September to here we are in almost mid-July before something actually gets done.
Mm.
If a deal is to get done, not the franchise tag because he signed that, but I'm saying a long-term deal.
So your bottom line is?
Right, I believe he plays on the franchise tag.
So do I. But I have a different take on why they signed so early.
Okay.
Because they could have pushed it all the way to right. July 15th. They could go past July 15th. They had the ability to hold out of whatever training camp there is, however many preseason games there is. For that matter, they had the Le'Veon Bell authority. If, right. if you wanted to take it, you could legally hold out of real games if you wanted
right.
to. Okay. So
not $2 million the game, Skip.
Yeah, okay. All right. But that's okay. I got you. But the point is, I believe this was a rather desperate PR move by Dak and his relatively new agent. Because I think they believed they were losing in private with Jerry because the blood had gotten so bad after what happened early in the mm-hmm. season. Nobody was budging one inch, one penny off. They wanted this, and Jerry and Steven said, no, this is as far as we're going to go. So they basically made a public statement whereby they said to Cowboy Nation, hey, we did the right thing. We signed early. They placed the tag on us. We accept the tag.
Right.
We give up our ability to hold out through training camp
right.
and preseason games. And we are now all in for the 2020 football season.
Right.
So now it's their turn to do the right thing by giving us the money that we have asked for before July 15th. Because now it's like, let's put the ball back into Jerry Stevens' court. Let's make them make a choice now with Cowboy Nation saying, well, listen, Dak, he's relented. He has signed, sealed, and delivered mm-hmm. that you have placed the tag on him,
right.
and he will play under the tag if so forced to play.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, when I talk about they want Jerry to pay them what they want, the one number that has not been made public even to this moment is exactly how much they are asking
Correct.
For. I believe it's somewhere up in the 40s. I believe it's 40 plus million per year. I'm not sure if it's 4 years, 5 years. I don't know that. I just think that their strategy from the start was to get the kind of money that they believe Patrick Mahomes will ultimately
right.
get. Because they wanted to be paid commensurate with Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson,
right.
even after they get their new big money deals. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to preempt the news of those deals by saying, we get so much more than people thought that once they get their money, we're at least in the ballpark with both of them.
Right.
It's a lot of money for Dak Prescott, especially coming off an 8-8 season in which he did not make the Pro Bowl and down the stretch. He stunk it up at New England, and he stunk it up at Philadelphia in the make-or-break game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder for him to sell himself right here, right now. You always say right place, right time. And he is possibly free, except there's this thing called the tag.
Right.
Well, now Jerry's saying, well, I can force him to play under the tag for 31.4, and if we have to, we can do it again next year. And he will play for 37.
Right.
Well, if he's asking for, let's say, 42, I don't know what it is, but up in the 40s, well, obviously, Jerry's doing the math saying 31, 37, I'll be better off if I just tag him the next 2 years. I'll save a lot of money.
But Skip, that eating so much into your cap, though, Skip. That's
right?
hard dollars against your cap. And see, here's what Dak's argument is, Skip. He says, okay, I understand Russell, and I understand Wentz, and I understand golf, and Aaron Rodgers. But all of those guys had 2 years left on their deal when they made them, at the time, the highest paid player.
That is true.
I have no years left. So for you to put something in line with Jared Goff is not going to work because Jared Goff has 2 years left. I have no years left. Skip, you mentioned if they franchise this year, it's $31 million. If they franchise him next year, $37 million. If they franchise him a third time, $54 million.
That now, won't happen.
What they could do is transition him, and then that would be $45 million. So, Skip, if you look at, if you just say the three franchise tags over 3 years, Skip, that's $122 million. I think Dak says that's the starting point of where I want to be in this negotiation.
I agree.
Which is, and I said, Skip, they said Jared Goff number. I said he's going to be looking for 10% more than what Jared Goff got. I think Goff got 113, so 10% more is right in line with what I've been saying, about 121, 122. So that's what Dak's argument is, Skip. He said, hold on. Sometimes you give up less because you're getting the guarantee, Skip. You're getting the security right now. Dak's like, I got no security. I had to go play. And so you want me to give you a discount. Dak said, I already gave you a $100 million discount. Remember, I was a fourth-round draft pick. I saved you $100 million your first 4 years because imagine if Dak, Skip, had come in with one of them old big old contracts. So Dak says, hold on, you paid me $400 my first year, and I was rookie of the year. Where was the raise? I didn't get no raise with that. And then I come back the next year. When Zeke was going through what he was going through, I still went 9-7. And then I come back after that and win you another division. And I ain't get no raise. I ain't get nothing. And now I'm completely free. I'm completely out of contract. I got no more contract. And you say, oh, Dak, do your boy this solid. Cut me a discount. Dak said, no, I can't even do that, Jerry. I can't. I can't even good contract to do that.
Yet, Jerry, the report from his side of this equation is that on the table right now is $36 million a year for 5 years. I think it's $110-ish million guaranteed, which is pretty great because it would immediately make you the highest paid quarterback right now.
Right.
Is it Mahomes? No, it's not Mahomes money.
Dak don't want Dak said, I just turned 27. I want to get 4 years because what's going to happen? Because, see, I know what y'all do. You think you're slick. Because if I sign a, if I sign a five-year deal, Skip, guess what? Y'all could possibly franchise me. That's 6 years. Franchise, that's 7 years. Nah, I want shorter-term deals. So that way, if you franchise me, I'm still at the front end of the 30s, Skip, and I'll still be able to get that big money. So this is what I want. Y'all, hey, y'all had your, y'all had y'all for me. Skip, y'all, the man made $4 million in 4 years for two divisions, two division titles, and a rookie of the year. That's better than anybody in his draft class.
Okay.
And now y'all want to give him chicken feed.
And yet, he is the quarterback of America's team. And all of a sudden, the bandwagon is rolling for my team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, run it.
All of a sudden, everybody wants to play for Dallas.
Watch
Jamal
it.
Adams wants to play for Dallas. We're going to talk about this later. But Clowney wants to play for Dallas. Am I right?
That fast train ain't going to do nothing but run off the tracks.
People are just lining up. Can I play?
Okay.
And again, Dak Prescott last year had a dozen national TV endorsements and commercials. A dozen. Could that go up to 15, 17? That's what happens when you're the quarterback of that team with that star on your helmet.
That's what happens when you play good football under that team, with that team with that star on your helmet. Because what if Quincy Carter had no commercial like that? Why not? He had no commercial like that.
Nope, he did not.
Okay, then.
Well, I've told you, Dak is a top 10 quarterback, but I have him ranked 10th. Is he better than Patrick Mahomes? Well, obviously, you would say a big, flat,
No. Hold on. That ain't just goes to Dak. Nobody. From Aaron Rodgers to Tom Brady to Drew Brees, nobody is better than Mahomes, boy.
So all of a sudden, I see Dak's MVP odds as high as, one book that I saw in Las Vegas had him as high as third.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Third? It's like the bandwagon is about to roll right over everybody because, wait a second, he suddenly has C.D. Lamb. It's the C.D. syndrome. And people are saying, wow, Dak's got it. He might have the three best receivers in all of pro football. And
you were doing so good.
Okay, but you, well, that's what a lot of people are writing that.
Ain't nobody wrote that.
And you know what? That could be the case.
Ain't nobody wrote that.
Hey,
wait a second.
You got CD as your number one. You got an emerging Gallup as your number two. And now Amari is a three?
So, in other words, so are you saying that, so they better than what Tom Brady has?
They might be. I can't argue the tight ends if we're just doing wide out.
You're just doing wide out. Okay. So they're better than Godwin, Evans.
The three versus the two, maybe. Just maybe.
But because Godwin and what you call him are so much better than your outside guy, so if you want to throw Chris Humphrey or whomever the little slot guy is, so be it. Are they better than Evans and Emmanuel Sanders? I mean, Thomas? Mm. Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders?
Well, 3-2.
No, maybe. Michael Thomas better than both of your guys.
It's harder to guard three than it is two.
And then I ain't even talk about what my homeboy got.
Yeah. Who are you not going to double of those three guys? Help me out. That's what Dak should look forward to. He's got a potential Super Bowl team at his fingertips, but he has created bad blood.
Hey, Jared and Steven created that when they strolled their little butts up there into the combine and told my Dak need to give me a discount. Skip, we hadn't even started negotiating. I hadn't even told you what I wanted. And you talk about a discount. Mm-hmm. I'm about to say, you know what, Jerry? I'd be willing to do this deal for $15 million. And now you want me to give you a discount for $15 million.
Jerry said imminent after the first game last year in which Dak lit up the New York Giants at Jerry World. Remember that?
Yes, I remember
that. And then Jerry's waiting. Well, all we got to do is cross a couple of T's and dot a couple of I's, and we're done, right? We're in the same ballpark. Yep. And then what happened? Dak lit it up at Washington, and then he lit it up at home against the mighty Dolphins. And all of a sudden, the agent informs Jerry and Stephen Jones, April Fools, except it's September. So it's September Fools. We have a new number in mind. It's 40+, so we just decided to change our offer.
Okay, Skip. I know, so you know your brother is a great sheriff. Yeah. Me, he, and I both are James Baird, a former winner.
Is that right? Yeah. I did not know that about you.
Yeah. Okay, he have a restaurant.
Yeah.
And the guy comes in and say, you know what, Rick, I want to buy the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And Rick says, okay. And he says, give me a couple of months, I'm going to get it down. This is what I'm willing to. And James says, oh, and your brother Rick says, okay, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, yeah. But all of a sudden, the sales over the next 3-4 months go through the roof. What the price I was going to sell in the restaurant before the sales started going through the roof again is not what you going to be able to get it for now.
Okay.
So Dak Prescott said, you know, that was before I hit up the Giants for $400. Mm-hmm. That was before I dropped this $310 on the Washington. Mm-hmm. So it cost you a little bit more, Jerry.
So what if my brother says, you know what, I'm going to just wait on this. I'm going to hold back here, and let's see what happens over the next 3 months to our business. And business goes south because Dak went a little south last year because over the last 13 games, after he just lit up the league in those first three against, you said, garbage teams.
They were.
And you were right about that, that over the next 13 games, Dak ranked 15th in the league according to Pro Football Focus among quarterbacks. 15.
Yeah.
Well, suddenly my brother's deal, just the bottom fell out of it, and he doesn't deserve the kind of money that he is asking for.
But you know what Rick said? You know what? I'm the 2-time James Beard winner. Mm-hmm. I built this, this brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. So if I did it once, I can do it again. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Deal off.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Another Saudi investor going to come in there and going to give me 3 times what you offered.
Really?
Yep.
Well,
so would Dak win the MVP?
Fortunately for my brother, I think he's got like 10 restaurants, so one doesn't matter. But this man has only one restaurant in which he can eat, and it is Jerry's restaurant. Jerry owns the restaurant. He can let Dak be his man in the restaurant.
Now, you can go ahead and pay the man what he wants right now. Now, if he has the season that you believe your Cowboys and everybody's been writing that they're going to have, and you must write and let that guy win MVP, and you let that guy win Super Bowl MVP, now you're talking about $50
million. Okay, that's what I believe Jerry is hoping for. Show me, Dak. Go win me a Super Bowl in one of the next 2 years in which you'll be tagged for $31 and $37 million. And if you do, I'll pay you $50 million because then you will be worth it.
Okay, Dak. Come on. Get that money, Dak.
Because to get to a Super Bowl, he's going to have to win at least 2 more playoff games. So far, he's won 1 and lost 2.
Well, he right there behind Tony Romo because ain't like Tony Romo got like 15 playoff wins.
Guys are on fire today. Jeez. No mercy. The Cam Newton watch is finally over. The former MVP and number one overall pick has agreed to a 1-year contract with the Patriots that is low risk and high reward for New England. Cam reportedly passed his physical and is cleared to play after recovering from foot and shoulder injuries. The veteran quarterback is also reportedly, quote, hungrier than ever. And according to Fox Bet, the Patriots now have the 7th best odds to win the Super Bowl at 19-1. So, Skip, how much better does Cam make the Patriots?
I thought, Mr. Sharp, this was a very good move by Bill Belichick. I'm still wondering what took him so long. He just gave Tom Brady a four-month head start getting to know his Buccaneer teammates, new teammates, as opposed to Cam getting thrown into a fire in which he will be compared to nobody but Tom Brady from the first snap that he takes in Foxborough.
Absolutely.
Or with the New England jersey on. And yet, as good a move as this is, I do not think it makes them a good team. So I'll give you what Jenny just said about the Super Bowl odds. They were like 25-1 and they're down to 19-1. Give you that. But I say I was looking at a 4-12 New England roster. I was looking at a roster that just yesterday Pro Football Focus ranked 19th in the league, 18th, I'm sorry, 18th in the league. So that's below average. And I was looking at 4-12, so I'm going to give you 5-win ceiling for Cam Newton. I'm going to say he could add, if he starts every game and he is healthy, and those are ifs right now. I don't know if they're big ifs. But if he can play every game, I'm looking at a ceiling of 9-7 for the Patriots. Could that make the playoffs? It could. You could eke in the back door of the playoffs, but I still don't think they're better than Buffalo. I don't think they're going to win that division over Buffalo. I think Buffalo's a 10-win team. And I think that New England, even with Cam, will have some problems with the Jets. And they might even have some problems with the Dolphins. So to me, they lost so much on defense. When you look at the front seven losing Kyle Van Noy and Jamie Collins and Danny Shelton and a Landon Roberts, it's too many cogs lost where I don't know how you're going to replace them on the fly. And I remind you, that defense last year, the last eight games, it fell off the cliff. The receiving core didn't get much of any better, and it was dead last in the league last year in separation. Cam's going to look around after four games and say, Brady got them to the playoffs last year with this bunch? They still don't have a tight end. There's obviously no Greg Olsen.
And Cam will say, I'm going to do it with less.
Really?
Yeah, with all them defensive guys that you mentioned that left, Cam's going to get that team to the playoffs.
Okay. So we have a little bet on this.
We do.
Have five cases of Diet Mountain Dew. Put your dew where your mouth is.
Feel better.
Let's double that bet right now. Our bet is that Tom Brady's team will win more games than Bill Belichick's team. Well, now you don't have Jared Stidham at quarterback because I had you way over the barrel full of Diet Dew, right? But now I think I still have you over the barrel because I'll take Tom's roster over Belichick's roster.
Well, but Skip, had Cam been there since March, this would be a no-brainer for me. I would easily give you that. But I agree with you. I think Cam makes them, I would say, six games better. So I got them. They're going to win double digit. Yep. Which would be more than what your team wins. Mm. So, Skip, I think there's nothing more dangerous in sports than a motivated athlete. And Cam is highly motivated
because you
remember he said they gave up on me. Cam is going to be out to show that he's the Cam of old, not an old Cam. And so, Skip, the thing is with Cam Newton has never been a QBR darling. For the simple fact, he was ninth in QBR the year he won the MVP.
Yep.
Cam doesn't have the best footwork
mechanic.
Very
good point. I agree.
And so,
but he does make plays.
He make plays. Mm-hmm. He can still run the football. He tried to get away from that. But, you know, he's taken a lot of punishment over his first 9 years in the NFL, Skip. So, for me, what remnants of the offense that we've seen over the last 20 years will they run Cam? Are they going to take some of the things that he did very well in Carolina and try and implement some of that? Because that's what the Bucs are going to do for Tom Brady. It's not going to be all New England stuff. It's not going to be all Tampa stuff. But it's going to be some of the things that he ran that he did very, very well in New England, and he's going to bring that down to Tampa. So that's what you do, Skip. So you implement what do you like, what do you do really well. Let's see, can we formulate some of that into our offense? And I believe that's what Josh McDaniel, the offensive coordinator, will do. But I think the thing that's going to really, really help Cam is that he has a guy with the defensive mind that Coach Belichick has. That's what helped Tom Brady because he's going to be able to tell him, this is what they're thinking in this down and distance. This is what they're thinking in this area of the field. Because like him or not, Coach Belichick is still Skip. He's one of the great defensive minds in NFL history.
I'll give you that.
So that's going to help that's going to help Cam Newton immensely. For me, Skip, I still believe that Cam is the more talented of the two guys. Stidham just has the head start, and I've been around.
I hope he's more talented than Jared Stidham. I can't even believe you brought that up. We're talking about an MVP versus a fourth-round pick who really struggled in his last year at Auburn.
But I've seen
guys. By the way, they're both from Auburn. Yeah. Interesting.
But, Skip, I've seen guys that have been less talented that keep the guys with the more talent on the field because of the offense, because of the defense, because, Skip, your talent can only showcase itself if you play fast. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to run the wrong route in a hurry. So if a guy's out there guessing, and what, man, am I lined up right? Am I at the right depth? Should I release inside or outside? If you got to worry about all that, Skip, you can't play fast. Mm-hmm. So Cam is in a new system for the first time in 9 years. And so now he's going to have to learn new verbiage. Everybody pretty much, Skip, runs the same plays. They just call them different things. So that's what Cam's going to have to retrain his mind to, like, so that's what that is, and try to put two and two together. Mm. But I like old Cam Newton in New England. Feel like my 5Ks are due when they have a better record than you guys.
Really?
Yep.
Very interesting, because I'm wondering how Cam Newton is going to coexist with a Bill Belichick who still has a whole lot of Napoleon in him, a lot of dictator, a lot of tyrant, a lot of verbal abuse for the quarterback, because Tom Brady swallowed that verbal abuse and just shrugged it off. Easy. In the locker room. He told everybody, calm down, it's just the way he is, just accept it. So he allowed Belichick to ream him in front of the team in film sessions, to ream him in front of the team in practices, stop practices. Brady, what are you doing?
Yeah, what were you doing?
What are you thinking? Well, I was thinking I'm the GOAT, Coach. That's what I was thinking, and I'm wondering who you are.
You know.
You played college football. Oh, wait, you didn't really play college football. You played lacrosse at Wesleyan.
But this is what Coach Belichick. See, Cam has already started at an advantage. Mm. Coach Belichick like him. Yeah. They probably going to be out going to lunch.
You think
probably,
so?
Yeah, I'll probably go grab a bite to eat or something like that.
I will bet you 100 cases of diet do. They never go out to lunch one time. You think so?
They go out, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Unless he's really mellowed.
Unless
he's really desperate enough to say, I got to make friends with this quarterback.
And Coach Belichick said the other guy was holding me back.
Really?
I couldn't be my true self.
Really?
Yep.
So we got to 9 Super Bowls in 20 years, but he was holding me back.
He probably said if I had Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning, I'd have got to 11-12.
Yeah.
That's what he probably say to himself.
Well, I'm going
to
give you this. If Cam can play every game the way he played the two previous games versus Belichick, you got you something.
Yeah,
you got a 2015 all over again, because in 2013 on Monday Night Football at Carolina, he beat Tom Brady head-to-head with a QBR of 91. Through 3 touchdowns to no interceptions, out-dueled him, and did it again in Foxborough.
Hold up. Was that the one that Tom, at the end of the game, ran up to the referee and cried, but he got beat? Was that the game?
Because Gronk got tackled in the end zone. It was a robbery.
No, it wasn't no robbery. It was nothing.
Monday night robbery.
No, it was nothing.
In Carolina, it was. You can go look up the tapes. I called it the next day.
He's going to run it down the field.
The other show that I was on.
Coach Belichick told him. Coach Belichick said, don't you never embarrass me like that again. That's not what we do. Mm. We play for 4 quarters. We win. Or if we lose, we come on into the locker room. You go in and showing me up.
I remember a game Belichick lost on Sunday night in Baltimore, I believe it was. Maybe it was even Monday. I think it was Sunday. Remember, he ran off the field yelling at the referee because it looked like the field goal was good.
Right.
And the ref said, no good. And he said, well, it went right over the top of the crossbar.
No, it didn't. Get out of our face, Bill.
Really? Get out of our face. Well, so he did it then. But if Cam plays the way he did in 2017 at Foxborough, in which he went 23 of 29 for 316 yards. That's a Tim Tebow game, 316.
Oh, my
Remember
goodness.
That? Oh, my Reminds goodness. Me of Tim Tebow in a playoff game.
Hold up. They got baseball coming back. Is he on the 60-man roster?
He might be.
He might not
well,
be.
Well, we don't know yet. But. He well might, because he's been bulking up during the quarantine. Okay.
What do you go, WWE?
He's like DeChambeau in golf, right?
But, Skip, to say this, you remember when Tom Brady missed those first 4 games, mm-hmm. they let the quarterback run a lot more mm-hmm. with Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett than they ever did with Tom Brady. So you might see a little bit more quarterback boots and things of that nature.
Okay, but he's coming off surgery on shoulder, surgery on foot. You think he can hold up?
Yep.
He just turned 31 years of age.
Wait, hold on. You worried about him holding up? What about that 44-year-old?
The 43.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, 44.
43-year-old. Who has not been touched for a couple of years. I don't know. He gets rid of the ball so fast.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah. You want to go 10 cases on this?
Nope.
Brady over Cam?
No.
I'll go 10 cases.
I'm five right now.
Good.
Have you guys seen Cam posting all the workout videos? He looks really ready.
Yeah,
let me just say, he's been posting and
has Brady.
He has. Mm. All right. Fair enough. And somehow Tebow got brought into the conversation as well, working out. Former Celtics center Ryan Hollins recently said that Paul Pierce and his Celtics team viewed LeBron as soft during the 2012 playoffs. He said that they didn't think LeBron would show up in the fourth quarter and that he wasn't the real deal when things got tight. So, Shannon, is there any truth to this? What do you got?
No, there's no truth to this. And I think they used what the Celtics used was the 2011 Mavericks series to try to diminish anything LeBron had ever done or anything that he might accomplish after that, Skip. Now, I remind you that they do realize that Paul Pierce realized they put the big three together to stop LeBron. Because once LeBron went through the bad boy two Pistons, it was over. Because remember, Paul Pierce never got to the Eastern Conference Final until he got Kevin Garnett, who was a former MVP, until they got Ray Allen, one of the greatest shooters of all time. Paul Pierce, the truth had been a lie up until then.
Mm.
Now, all of a sudden, now remember in 2011, Skip, the Heat mopped the floor with the Celtics.
Mm.
Beat them 4-1. LeBron James scored double figures in three of the fourth quarters. Three with Paul Pierce guarding it.
Mm.
So up until he got the big three, until he got KG, and Ray Allen, Paul Pierce had been a lie. The name was a farce.
Mm.
Now all of a sudden he used something. Now remind you, Skip, also, the year that they beat him, now in 2008, Game 7, LeBron went for 45, had 13 in the fourth quarter. In 2010, when they had the big three Pistons, everybody talking about LeBron. Oh, and this is the game that Dan Gilbert said LeBron choked in, and he just gone. LeBron James, in game 10, the last game in Cleveland, had 27 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists, and had 10 points in the fourth quarter.
Mm.
Does that look like a guy that quit? Well, hell, if he quit with those kind of numbers, man, I'd hate to see what he'd have done. That'd have been a will game.
Mm.
So he might have had, what, 54, 38, and 20.
Mm.
Stop this notion, Skip.
Mm.
Get that man his props. Paul Pierce, until he got Kevin Garnett, Skip, ain't nobody talk.
Mm.
Ain't nobody even mention the Celtics. Ain't nobody mention Paul Pierce.
Mm.
He get KG. KG, if I'm not mistaken, his first year there, KG was Defensive Player of the Year. And then you team Ray Allen, who's arguably one of the greatest. He's got to be, Skip, one of the three greatest shooters of all time. Whether you got Steph and Clay and Larry Bird, Reggie Miller, however you want to rank it,
mm-hmm.
Ray Allen's in that conversation.
Okay.
And then you're going to take one game, you're going to take a series against the Mavericks to try to whitewash and just diminish everything the man has accomplished? Mm-hmm. Man, y'all need to stop this. Mm-hmm. But he showed you. What happened, Skip, in 2012? The man that they thought would quit. Paul Pierce was talking that noise. You remember, don't you, Skip?
Do I?
Game 5. It's over. We ain't coming back here. We not coming back. And what did LeBron do to him?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about he wanted him. 45-15-5.
Great.
On his head.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know a good measure Game 7. Because you know he got the highest scoring average in NBA history in Game 7.
Mm.
What did he do to the truth?
Mm.
Made him a lie again.
Interesting.
And hadn't beat him since.
So let's reiterate what Ryan Hollins said. He was talking about the years 2007, 8, 9, 10, and 11. That's what the Celtics viewed LeBron as soft. And he said, we thought he wouldn't show up in the fourth quarter. We thought he wasn't the real dude when things got tight, said Ryan Hollins, who did play with LeBron James in 2010 in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw the collapse in the series in question, the last series in his first go-around in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Hollins sat on the bench for the most part and saw it from the inside out. Then he heard it from the Celtics' point of view when he joined them in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what he's saying is exactly what I kept saying all through this, that LeBron was wildly all-time great talented, but I didn't see the mentally toughest real dude in fourth quarters consistently. So again, let's look at that series, that last series in the first go-round, but right before the decision, mm-hmm. which came 2 months after this.
Correct.
LeBron in game 3 at the Boston Garden played one of the greatest games of his career. It was a Friday night. I sat watching with Ernestine. He absolutely destroyed Paul Pierce and the Celtics in their house. It was devastation from the first minute to the last minute. And all of a sudden, here we go again. They're up 2-1. We kept seeing this repeated because they had been neck and neck with Orlando the previous year, and they lost games 4, 5, and 6. Well, here they went again, and they lost games 4, 5, and 6. And it got so bad for LeBron, despite the numbers you just read, go look this up, his inner circle dropped hints to the media, which got reported on ESPN, you can look it up, that LeBron had to be sedated before games 4, 5, and 6. So he did that under sedation because he was having a problem with a teammate in the locker room, an internal issue that required sedation before those games. This got reported. Look it up. And when I heard that, I needed to be sedated because I'm saying, stop it. I have heard enough. He just didn't measure up. He didn't live up. I get those numbers. But if you watch that game carefully as I did, they were never in that game, and they got taken out of it so quickly that his inner circle believed he needed a valid excuse. He got sedated before these games, and a lot of people bought it, and that's why his value remained high going into the decision period, the free agent period, even though he had lost 4, 5, and 6 against Orlando, 4, 5, and 6 against Boston, and going back to 07, he'd lost games 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the finals against the Spurs, that a lot of people around the league that I knew were saying, he's just not that guy. That's not what he does the best. He doesn't have the toughest mind under pressure to be able to close the deal. So he needed to go learn how to win games from his close friend, D. Wade.
Is that what Paul Pierce had to do when they brought in KG and Ray Allen? So what was Paul Pierce doing in Boston prior to Kevin Garnett? Because he had to be there for at least a decade. And how many Eastern Conference Finals, how many NBA Finals had he made?
Okay, but nobody ever said Paul Pierce is the best player in basketball.
We are. You talk about saying means past tense. Saying. They still saying it. Skip, you talking about, hold on, this was 2010. We 2020, and he's still the best.
Okay, here's my takeaway, and this is what I tried to tell you all during The Last Dance on ESPN. All I kept saying was, hey, you're disqualified. He had too many epic fails because he came right out of the decision, and he goes to the Heat, and what happens? Right on schedule in the NBA Finals versus Dallas, games 4, 5, and 6. No. Smaller, played LeBron James. It was the all-time superstar meltdown in the history of NBA Finals. You can't take it away. You can't wipe the slate clean. So we had Dallas. Then before that, we had Boston. And before that, we had Orlando. That's not goatish. Disqualified.
Skip, the man against Orlando averaged 35, 9, and like 7.
If you're that guy against that team, it's Dwight and a bunch of three-point shooters. That's all you got. Are you better than Dwight? Are you more valuable? Yes, you're better than Dwight.
Dwight Howard, three consecutive times, Defensive Player of the Year.
Defensive Player of the Year.
He was surrounded, Skip, you know what he was surrounded by. Those markmen could not miss.
Okay, but LeBron could miss, and LeBron was not very good in games 4, 5, and 6.
Skip, they won, Skip.
If you're that dude, you close that deal. You just do. Especially after you hit the shot heard round the world to win game 2.
And guess what? We came back and we won game 4. Remember? They beat us 4-2, but that's okay. But I'm talking about this. Ryan Hollins said we thought he'd show up for the fourth quarter. We thought he was a real dude when things got tight. He wouldn't be able to go out and make plays. And if Paul Pierce could stay out of foul trouble, Paul would never be LeBron. And then we showed you. We showed you. Guess what we did, Skip? We beat the brakes off him in Boston. We sent him to New Jersey. Beat the brakes off him. And then he just bounced around. He went from, where'd he go, Skip? You remember he went to Washington and Clippers, went to Clippers. Yeah. Went all over. He went everywhere so he wouldn't have to see us. But you know what he did do? He got up out the East. He got up out the East.
This isn't about Paul Pierce. It's about LeBron James.
Where'd he go?
Okay. Did any rival of Michael Jordan's, even in his early years when Boston was just beating his little butt, did anybody ever say he's soft and he gives up in the fourth quarter? Did any owner ever say of Michael Jordan, he quit on us?
Isaiah said, we tore his tail up. Isaiah said, he wasn't my peer.
Really?
Isaiah said, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson was my guys. I tore his tail up.
Did they ever say that Michael was soft?
No. Skip, I don't care what they say.
Lord have mercy.
Skip, I used to do that all the time. You know, my grandma used to tell my grandma, my brother called me name. Mm-hmm. She said, boy, it ain't what he called you. He said, what's your answer to? Mm. I don't care what you call me, but what do I answer to? Mm. So you call him soft. But we got these rings and things and about to get another one. So we win when we win the title this year, Skip, that'll be number four.
You got three rings in nine tries. You are the opposite of Tom Brady.
You're the un-Tom
Brady.
This ain't got nothing to do with Tom.
He's got six and nine. You got three and nine.
We're about to have four.
You are disqualified from the GOAT debate. You're out of it.
No.
Because of Orlando and Boston and Dallas.
I got one thing to say. So, was it true that LeBron James was going to melt down in the fourth quarter and Paul Pierce was going to take the game over? Was it true? Mm. So he could have kept that because that was a lie. Mm. My guy in game 12 in 2012 did a number on him.
Was it true that LeBron James had to be sedated before games 4, 5, and 6?
Skip, that was,
what?
Skip, I don't,
what?
Skip, I don't know.
You're disqualified.
Skip, I don't know.
Never again do I want to hear you're the GOAT. GOATs don't need sedation before games.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Sedated?
What about a guy that took a year and a half off because the media scrutiny was too much for it? What about that? So you're disqualified if you can't handle the media asking you a few questions about gambling habits and then what you pay.
That was a forced sabbatical.
That was before social media. And he did that back then. That was before 24-hour news cycle. And he did that back then.
And guess what? He came back and won three in a row more to get to 6-0 in the finals.
All I know is everywhere my guy go, titles follow.
Really?
We about to get another one.
L's follow.
We went to Miami, titles follow. We're back to Cleveland, titles follow.
All right, it feels good to be back with you guys. MJ LeBron at its finest. No mercy. Cam Newton has finally found a new home. The former MVP and number one overall pick has agreed to a one-year contract with the Patriots that is low risk and high reward for New England. Cam reportedly passed his physical and is cleared to play after recovering from foot and shoulder injuries. The veteran QB is also reportedly, quote, hungrier than ever. We're now joined by Fox Sports contributor Rob Parker. Rob, looking sharp this morning. Rob, are you surprised Cam signed with the Pats?
I love this move. Yeah, I was a little surprised. I thought that Bill Belichick was going to try to do it all himself. But now he goes and he gets a real quarterback who doesn't have a noodle arm and has big upside. So I'm looking forward to this. I would love to see Bill Belichick wearing a scarf, you know, a Aunt Jemima scarf like Cam wears to celebrate. Boston has a quarterback. They're not dead. Skip, this is your worst nightmare that Bill Belichick has an able body, able arm quarterback who could continue to win in New England even without Tom Brady. I love this.
So, Rob, let me ask you this. Are you referring to the noodle arm Jared Stidham? Is that who you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about Cam Newton. You know that.
Oh, but I mean, what? You're talking about, you mean Tom Brady has a noodle arm.
Of course we're talking about Tom Brady with the noodle arm. You know, do you remember last year in Pittsburgh, that game where he's trying to throw the ball out of bounds and he threw an interception because he couldn't get the ball? Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
That's how bad his arm is. It's still bad.
Yeah. So, Rob, why is it that the Tampa Bay's Buccaneers Super Bowl odds are better than the New England Patriots Super Bowl odds?
Because, Skip, just the way the odds were for the Browns a year ago. Do you remember? They went from 1 million to 1 to 14 to 1 after they got OBJ. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Everybody was saying that they wouldn't be able to be stopped. Look how good they were. Oh, my God, look at all the weapons. Baker Mayfield's going to have a breakout year. Do you remember all that? Mm-hmm. Did they make the playoffs, Skip Bayless? Yes or no?
No, they did not. But what I remember
Will the Bucs.
Yeah. What I remember last year is that Tom Brady took a mediocre football team with no receivers. They were dead last in separation, according to Pro Football Focus. He took that team all the way to the 2 seed in the AFC, had it wrapped up with a big bow around it until Belichick's defense spit the bit.
Oh,
and they gave up a 75-yard drive in the last 3 minutes of the regular season finale in Foxborough and lost 27-24 and blew the 2 seed. thanks to Bill Belichick. That's what Cam Newton can look forward to this year.
Skip, you know, last year that was the worst 8-0 team that we had ever seen in the NFL. They hadn't beaten anybody. And when they played the better teams, Brady struggled. Let's just be honest. Mm. We remember the last pass Tom Brady ever threw in New England was a pick six in the playoffs. Mm. That's what I remember about last year. I don't remember about all this other stuff you're talking about. Mm. I love the idea that Cam Newton has a chance to redeem himself, go to Boston. Imagine if he wins this job and they win the division and make the playoffs.
If Tom Brady's down there in Tampa Bay. How can he not win this job?
He should win it.
He should.
Well, I'm not surprised, Skip. We have been talking about this, Rob, for the longest. And Skip and I have been saying we thought this was a great opportunity for Cam Newton to be in New England. And plus it gave Bill Belichick a veteran quarterback that he knows what he's game planned against Cam Newton. He hadn't had a lot of success against Cam Newton because, if I'm not mistaken, I think Cam has beaten him twice. Mm-hmm. So this is a great fit for Cam. It gives him an opportunity. Very little risk in this situation. Max value of this contract can be $7 million. So he's probably getting him at $2.5 million. It's funny that Cam Newton and Jameis Winston make less money than Chase Daniels. But we'll talk about that another day on another show. But that's neither here nor there. But I like this pick for Cam Newton because I think a guy is very motivated to prove that he still can play the game at a high level. He goes somewhere that they're going to get back to the fundamentals, and they believe in Cam. Skip, Coach Belichick does not bring anyone in that he does not believe that can help his ball club. And he's got, obviously, a very good, talented quarterback. Cam's healthy. Cam's going to win this job. They're going to go to the playoffs.
Mm. Will 9-7 get you to the playoffs? That's what I'm wondering.
With the Bucks,
that's the ceiling for Cam Newton in New England. If he can turn a 4-12 team into a 9-17, I will be in awe of Cam Newton. Will 9-7 make the playoffs? Maybe, but Buffalo is still the better team in that division.
Well, the Bucks won't be going to the playoffs because that's what your record going to be, 9-7.
9-7?
They're not going to the playoffs. They definitely will not. It'll be 13 years in a row the Bucks do not make it to the playoffs.
Really?
But as far as New England, yes, I'm going there, Skip. I don't believe. I'm going to put the Saints and the Falcons ahead of them, and I'm going to pick the Bucks third. I think everybody with old Gronk and old Tom Brady, who's going to be 43. Everybody's all excited. I've seen this movie before, and he's not as good as Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I've seen this movie nine times before, and I saw six Super Bowls that should have been eight Super Bowl victories in nine. That's 9 out of 20 years in New England.
Well, we didn't expect Seattle and Atlanta to edit their own version of this film. That's what happened. Had them beat. Yes, you know it.
And don't forget Carolina kicked the ball out of bounds. Mm. Don't forget the Tuck rule. Shannon, we could go on and on and on. Tom Brady should have one legit Super Bowl. That's all he should have.
One legit Super Bowl?
Yes, one legit. All the other ones are bad. And here's the other thing about Cam. I don't know why people act. This guy's been banged up and hurt. And that's a big part of why he hasn't been productive or been good. He's healthy now. Let's see the guy go back out. He's not an old man. People act like Cam Newton is garbage, hot garbage at that. He can play when he's healthy. I love the idea of him in New England, and he'll beat up on the teams in the AFC least, and he'll have the same opportunity that Tom Brady's had over the years where he is able to get to the playoffs and have an easy road come postseason time.
You know, most people believe that the strength of schedule that New England drew might just be the toughest in football this year. We never know until you see how teams actually start to take shape during the next season. But I think it's going to be very difficult for them to win 9 games. It will take at least 9 to get to the playoffs. So, Rob, I can't remember if we already bet on this, but I will bet you 5 dinners that the New England Patriots do not make the playoffs and that the Buccaneers do make the playoffs. You want that?
All right, we're on. I'm on for that. 5 dinner.
Well, Skip, you do know we got an extra playoff spot this year, right? Mm. So that's why we're gonna fall in that extra one.
You will need it, and you won't get it. And, Rob, just so you know, my man across the table and I have 5 cases of Diet Mountain Dew bet on the fact that Tom Brady will have a better record this year than Bill Belichick. And I love that bet. I tried to get Shannon to double down earlier in the show and do 10 cases, but he is so far refusing to do this. with the excuse that, well, Tom Brady's got a four-month head start on Cam.
And he's breaking rules about social distancing and wearing a mask.
Do it, Tom.
First of all, even in April, he was thrown in the park, which he shouldn't have been in.
Good.
He went to the man's house. With no mask on, which he shouldn't have been in.
Now he's
throwing at a stadium with his teammates, putting him at risk.
All you need to Tom knows this, just wash your hands after you pitch and catch the football. Don't touch your face after you catch the sweaty football.
So every time he throws a pass, he's running over to the sideline, washing his hands, and getting ready to throw the ball again.
Everybody should. Are they having eye collision sweat exchange? No, they're not. Are they running into each other in these sessions? They are not.
Oh my goodness.
It's just fine what they are doing. It is very safe because Tom Brady is a very safe, conservative operator on the football field,
not.
As you know.
No, he's not.
And Shannon, you know what? His receivers don't have to worry about it because the ball will be going the other way with the defenders, so he doesn't have to worry about it.
You know,
Skip,
it's funny.
I don't know why you're so caught up on this Tom Brady to Tampa. The man is 40, going to be 43 years old.
43.
On a team that 43 that hasn't made the playoffs in 12 years. Mm. And all of a sudden, you think this is some magical elixir. You will be disappointed.
Pro Football Focus ranks the Buccaneers roster as the fifth best in the NFL right now, and I'm going to take that to my Diet Do Bank.
Well, I know the TB12 elixir is called Geritol.
Mm.
That's what he did. Hey, Rob, you remember Geritol? I think they still make it.
Rob lives on it.
Okay, enough now,
Skip,
guys. Rob, thank you. Yes, you are young. Looking good today. The noodle arm reference was my favorite. Good stuff, guys. No mercy.